Welcome to Healing the World Through Music podcast. I'm Sherry Gross, bringing you conversations, experiences, and explorations on healing music and music for healing. You can find information on healing music events, tours, and trainings, as well as free gifts, music downloads, and all kinds of resources on music for healing at www.healingtheworldthroughmusic.com. Find yourself in a comfy spot and settle in because it's going to be an amazing episode. Thanks for listening. Today's call is with Jim Oliver. Jim is an Emmy Award-winning musician, sound studio designer and consultant, innovative sound engineer, and a charismatic performer. Jim has researched and discovered unique combinations of melodic notes and chord progressions that evoke the relaxation response, and he incorporates these into his compositions. Jim Oliver's passion is about helping people heal and experience transformation through the power of sound. Whether you listen to Jim's music during a massage, for which he has composed specific music, or just for working around your home, or even while recovering from an illness, you will feel Jim's soothing music nurturing and rejuvenating you. His music is relaxing and a beautiful blend of art and science that really works. Since 1982, Jim's Emmy Award-winning music has come forth to coax the human spirit into remembering how awesome it truly is. And that is what Jim is going to be talking about today on this call. He has researched and discovered unique combinations of melodic notes and chord progressions that evoke the relaxation response, which he then incorporates into his compositions. Some suggested uses for Jim's music are during massage and body work, energy work, walking, being in nature, creative endeavors such as writing, painting, sculpting, integrating higher frequencies into the physical body, for medical procedures, preparation, recovery, aftercare, and even transitioning into formlessness. Plants and gardens love Jim's music for gracefully shifting negativity into wholeness and creating higher vibrations in offices. It's the stress that makes you tired, so listening to Jim's music actually helps to rejuvenate you. People say they feel completely refreshed at the end of the day after listening to Jim's music, rather than feeling exhausted. And one of Jim's latest compositions is called The Light of Integration, and Jim will be talking about integration on this call with me today. This CD, called A Light of Integration, helps to integrate all of the inner work and various self-help tools that humanity, including people like us, is completely using at this point in time. Integration is critical to the mind, body, and spirit in creating the coherence and flow that we all need. So please help me welcome to this call today, warmly, Jim Oliver.
Wanted to do some music was the main event where we have a piece of music that's specifically created for a specific ailment, a specific need, a specific application, a specific intentionality. The intentionality is a keyword, if not the imagination, creativity, holding the vision of who and what you feel your beingness is and where you would like that to move to. Try to be careful with choice of words as much as possible. Say, oh, to evolve or to awaken or to become enlightened. All has a connotation that you're not evolved, you're not awake, and you're not already enlightened. That there's that elusive dangled carrot. And what I really like to share with people and offer the thought is that you're already whole and total and perfect. There's nothing that has to be fixed. There's nothing that has to be put in the past so that you can move to the future. It's really about being in the present. And music is, I think, one of the most incredible ways of being in the present. Because when you're really absorbed in a piece of music, you know, where you're really engaged on a cellular level, where you wouldn't, I mean, it's like you're so deeply in that piece of music that you wouldn't know if someone knocked at the door or if the telephone rang, or you're totally cellularly interacting with the music. And with that image in your own mind of your intentionality, whether it's for body, mind, spirit, emotional, is there something going on physically? Is there something going on mentally? Is there something going on emotionally? Is there a relationship thing? Is there a yearning, a seeking for a spiritual understanding? And whatever that is, that's up in the moment. My goal and intentionality is to create a piece of music that helps to support on a vibrational, resonant level, so that it's not the piece of music out there on one side and you over there on the other side. There's a merging of those energies between that piece of music and the essence and the form, the texture, the openness. I've always wanted to create music that was not so busy that there isn't room for the person who's experiencing the music to energetically interact with that.
That's so nice.
And thank you. And there's this welcoming of your energies with the musical energy. And as the music unfolds, certain frequencies you'll feel resonating in your legs, other ones you'll feel resonating in your arms, other ones you'll feel in your chest, your heart, your head, your fingers, feet. That's harmonic resonance. And harmonic resonance is sympathetic vibration, the same way the instrument a sitar works. There's the drone strings close to the body of the instrument, and then there's the string that you play. And if you play the note C, strings, the drone strings underneath will begin to resonate the note C. D, E, F, G, A, B, C, whatever. Those strings below will just kind of drone. And that's a demonstration of sympathetic vibration, harmonic resonance. When you play music in your house, you know, through the speakers, some notes might make the glasses in the cabinet rattle. Some notes might make the door, the screen door, rattle, vibrate. That's because it's tuned to that same frequency, the same as the way they use ultrasound to break up kidney stones. They just find the frequency, match it, play it, it vibrates, and the kidney stone breaks up. Like the commercial that you see with the singer singing and the glass breaks, that's another demonstration of sympathetic vibration, harmonic resonance, to where two objects that are tuned to the same frequency, when one vibrates, others in proximity to that will then begin to vibrate, to resonate with that sound. The whole idea is to have people as deeply involved, engaged with the music, and welcomed in by the music. So it's a whole different criteria from creating an entertainment piece, you know, a typical radio play piece of music. All the music that I do is longer length. Most of my pieces are anywhere from 30 to 60 minutes long. When I started doing music for massage 30 years ago, that was one of the things that was really so well received, was that we did 90-minute cassettes, which is 45 minutes on a side, so uninterrupted 45 minutes.
On a cassette, that's about right.
And, you know, probably because of my background in classical music, I started piano when I was five and majored in classical organ in college. And, you know, spent a lot of time with, you know, symphonic works. That gave me the support to be able to create 30, 40, 50-minute long pieces of music that are interesting and that evolve and are not just like repetitious, which can then become kind of tedious. variety of music that I offer. It's sometimes very soft and delicate piano or electric piano, sometimes a solo voice, the choir, or flute, or cello. Add some strings, add some choir, add some celestial kinds of sounds, and always with some low bass. Not through the whole thing, but important places where that low bass acts as a carrier wave to the higher frequency.
You know, I just have to say that, let me just interject and add one thing that stuck with me the most when I heard your interview the first time was that I had never realized that you were telling about the bass carrier waves and that wave was about 4 to 6 feet long and that carried the other sounds, and that was so fascinating to me. It was the first time that I really put that two and two together. You told that you could be in a car and feel the music from the car next to you or hear it because that's the bass wave carrying, and it just made such a impression on me. So I would want you to explain a little more about that and how it works in the music, and also to back up when you're telling that you create the music for people to be able to open to it. How do you do that when you're creating kind of blindly for people in general without knowing who they are, what they need, and how do you create it that it's going to be right for them?
Well, on the bass wave area, bass is, if you can picture a pipe organ, most people have been into a church where there was a big pipe organ at one point or other, a cathedral. And if you look at the big, long, tall pipes, in most instruments, they're 32 feet long is the longest one. That's the low C on the bass pedals of the organ. Some of the larger instruments have 64-foot low C pedal.
Wow.
Bass pedal. The pipe is, it's actually 64 feet from the mouth of the pipe to the top of the column, which is the speaking length of the organ pipe. So that means that bass wave is 64 feet long.
Now we can
hear traditionally, you know, they say 20 to 20,000 cycles per second. So if you took a string and it vibrated it at 5,000 cycles per second, well, that's, you know, more in the mid-range of our hearing, or the upper mid-range of our hearing. If you play something in the 400 cycles per second, that's in the low mid-range area. And then the bass, at 20 cycles, that waveform is 56 feet long. So that would take a string 56 feet long that you pluck it as boom, boom. Almost subaudible. You know, it's perceived as almost like wind. Now, wind is a huge, long bass wave, and it's a carrier. So how many times have you ever been to a place where there was a music festival? A long, long, long ways away, you know, like miles away. I live in a little town where Mill Park, they had concerts and things, and it was probably 4 miles, 3 or 4 miles from my house. And sometimes you could faintly hear it, and other times you could hear it almost like it was a block or two away. That's because the wind was blowing in that direction, and it was this big, long carrier wave of the wind that brought that music to you. And then the wind would die down, and you wouldn't hear the music. Then the wind would come up a little bit, and you'd hear the music. That's the way they communicate with submarines under the polar ice cap. They create an ELF carrier wave, extremely low frequency, one cycle per second. And they simultaneously broadcast their radio waves, which are up in the hundreds of thousands of cycles per second, kilohertz and megahertz, millions of cycles a second. Those radio frequencies piggyback along the bass waves, the ELF carrier waves. If you take an oscilloscope, which is a device that you can put a frequency into, a vibration, either from a keyboard or from a microphone, recording or picking up an acoustic instrument, if you play a pitch, you'll see the waveform on the screen. A sine wave is kind of like an S on its side. And the higher the pitch, the closer together the peaks of those waveforms are. If you play something in the upper mid-range, 1,000, 2,000 cycles a second, then you'll see that those waveforms are a certain distance apart. You know, 20,000 cycle a second range, they're about a third of an inch apart. At the low C, 20 cycles a second, it would be 56 feet apart. So you play the low bass wave, but so if you get this big, long S on its side, where you can't even see peak to peak. And then you play a high-frequency sound, they'll be real close together. You play the two simultaneously, and the high-frequency sound actually tracks along the bass wave. The bass wave is like a modulator, it's a carrier wave. So I saw that in the early days, like when keyboards and synthesizers were perfect for this. You can specifically, with a couple of the keyboards, I had the old analog keyboards, select the pitch and the waveform and what's called the duty cycle of the waveform. That's how, you know, the shape of the square wave or the sawtooth wave. And it helped us to identify, like in the early days, we did muscle testing to see how people responded to that specific sound. So if you do a muscle test and it's weak, then you find, like, you go to a chiropractor, and they want to find where there might be a little something out of alignment, or you go to an acupuncturist. They don't so much do kinesiology, but they do meridians, and they check pulses, and they just look for little indicators of where energy might not be flowing. In kinesiology, that the kinesiologist will touch a point on your body, it's your knee, or it's your chest, or clavicles, or your cervical spine, and then a strong indicator goes weak to indicate that there's some sort of disruption of the flow of energy. And then there's a specific sound, a specific frequency and waveform that when that sound is played, the weak muscle test will then become strong, showing that that sound helps to restore that harmonic resonant balance of that energy system. And then I would compose a piece of music specifically based on those frequencies and waveforms, which the pitch is the note you play, the waveform is the instrument sound. So I would look at, and maybe we would test 20, 30, 40, 50 things, of which a dozen or so were like the main priorities, the main domino in the chain, as it were, and I'd create a piece of music. So I'd see, well, what are the sine waves? What notes are the square waves? What notes are the sawtooth waves? We would test the person actually singing or toning a note. Say, okay, here, sing this pitch, la, and then test that, record it and play it back and see how that worked. And in the studio, I could record that and play it back while I was layering the music spontaneously. Improvisation is an area that I just moved into. You know, I did all the classical training, and which was really ideal for developing technique, skill of moving your fingers and having the right notes play, and then organ, also playing bass. Organ is the most challenging instrument. You're playing with both feet. So both feet are playing a melodic line in the bass pedal, and both hands are playing on the keyboards. So when you had to learn a piece of Bach that was 8-9 pages long, you literally went measure by measure, right hand alone, left hand alone, bass pedals alone. Right hand and pedals, left hand and pedals, and then all three together, right hand, left hand, and bass pedal. And it would take hours sometimes to learn a four-minute long Bach piece, months and months and months of very intense concentration.
I know what you're talking about. I used to play piano and took piano lessons, and that, so I can imagine what you're saying about having to do each piece, each component individually, and practice and practice and practice.
Yes. Yes, and you know, the wind instruments are extremely challenging because that's doing a trumpet or clarinet, woodwinds, brass instrument. It's called the armature, the shape of your lips against the mouthpiece. That's where you get the tone and just the right amount of breath, air pressure. That's incredibly challenging. The human voice, incredibly challenging to get that tone and the phrasing and the support from the diaphragm of being able to sing beautiful sustained notes and natural tremolo, incredibly challenging. And as a musician of keyboards, incredibly challenging to play both hands and both feet at the same time. It was so challenging that it would take months to learn these pieces, but once you learned them, they were so ingrained in your motor skills that I used to joke with people that I could read the newspaper while I played one of these big Bach pieces. And they'd just throw the newspaper up in front of me, and I would sit there and play. Hands are flying, the feet are flying, and reading the newspaper. And at the end of the piece, I'd say, okay, here, ask me a question ending on the page. And they'd say, okay, how many employees did such and such insurance company have? And I'd say, oh, 32,845. Because the body has that, in that cellular memory, that cellular mind, it has that flow of music. But the brain was literally free to do something else. And at a basic level, it would be just like you sitting there tapping your fingers on the table while you're reading the newspaper. But in this case, you're playing very intricate music. And I always wanted to go off and to improvise. Like, I hear this passage in the piece of music, and go, wow, that's incredible. What if it went in this direction? What if it went in that direction? And when you start to feel the energy of the people who are experiencing that, either whether they're directly there or at a distance, there's still that connection. There is no separation. Even though there may be a distance, separation, energetic connection is there. Mothers are so attuned to their children that you hear these stories of mothers all of a sudden wake up in the middle of the night, oh, there's something going on with my child. And then, you know, the phone rings. And when babies cry, the mother's milk lets down. And mothers always are sharing stories of, I was in the other room, I was across town, and I could feel my milk let down, call home, and sure enough, the baby just woke up. That connection is there. So applying that musically, particularly the emotional level, because music represents the emotion, like in a movie, in a film. Music is the emotion. The soundtrack is the emotion in the film. It precedes something that's going to happen, so it can kind of set you up. You know, like in the Jaws, it sets you up, oh, something's going to happen. Mm-hmm. In a very pastoral scene of fields of flowers, the music is very gentle and delicate, and the wind blowing and the trees are swaying. The action movie, the music has got this pulse going on to it as the cars are racing, or the getaway scene and cops are chasing the bad guys and all that. The music is the emotion, and then it fulfills that scene, that segment, and then starts to set things up for the next scene of what's going to happen. That's always been a dream of mine, to be able to score a feature film. Just the marriage between visual image and music and sound and texture is so profound. You ask, how do you know? Well, feel. It's really feeling. And at this point, I've been playing music for over 55 years. I started piano when I was 4 and a half, just before my 5th birthday.
Oh,
so,
wow.
I went through playing at the elementary school at the PTA thing, playing for the musical productions that they had, and then, you know, I sang in the choir, and then got into playing in junior high school with bands, and we played high school bands. When I was 14, I started playing nightclubs. A couple of nights a week, which then became 3 nights a week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, and through my last couple of years of high school, and then went off to music school and majored in classical organ. When you play music, whether you're in a nightclub or in a church or in your living room or at a school gathering, a school function, when you play, you can feel how people are receiving the music, and that influences and guides your presentation.
Hmm.
And you notice I don't use the word performance, mm-hmm. because when I play music, it wasn't about me up there on a stage or whatever, and then the people in the audience. It was always, I always had that feeling where I wanted to embrace and envelop the people who were listening and feel the energy of need to speed it up a little bit, particularly if you're playing in a church or a hymn where people are singing along. Like, does it very poignant? So you might play a little bit slower and a little more reverently, or is this a very lively hymn and you want to just really get people vibrating and resonating with the joy of that piece of music?
Mm-hmm.
And so then as I started doing my own music, I played a lot at massage schools where I'd set up a keyboard, or played with a lot of massage therapists who would come into the studio and set up a massage table, and I would play watching their hand doing massage on someone. And are they doing polarity, just touching two points? Are they doing light effleurage? Are they doing deep, deep tissue work? And creating music that mirrors that reinforces, resonates with, and supports that particular massage technique. And what's the energy and emotion of the massage therapist and of the client? And making a blend of musical flow that pauses at the right time. Just like taking a walk in nature. Sometimes you're wanting to get from here over to where the waterfall is, and other times you stop and pause along the way. Oh, look at these beautiful little flowers growing by the side of that rock. And look at the moth, the butterflies. Oh, look, there goes a jackrabbit. And then you're back walking again and headed toward the waterfall or toward the peak of the mountain or whatever it is. And creating music that represents that marriage of those energies. Mm-hmm. Visually, the smell. If there's been a little rain, you can smell the pine needles in the forest or the moss on the rock. Each of those elements has a vibration to it. Visible light, color, is mathematically related, vibrationally related to sound. Sound we hear is 20 to 20,000 cycles a second. So if you play the note, you hear people talk about A440. That's where you turn the A above middle C to 440 cycles a second. I do it a little bit differently. I go to 444, which means its octave, the A above that, the frequency doubles. So that goes to 888. The octave below, half the frequency, it goes to 222. Below that, 110. Below that, 55.5. So I like the kind of mathematical relationship of tuning to A, 444. As you go up an octave, the frequency doubles to where you then reach that 20,000 cycle per second threshold, and you can't quote-unquote hear that sound, but you can perceive it. If you have those little keep-the-mice-away ultrasound things in your garage that are up at 70 or 80,000 cycles a second, you can perceive that sound, and in effect, they'll almost pick up a little harmonic of that where it's squeaking in their ears. But then you go through radio waves, and then you get up into the visible light spectrum, which is 400 to 800 trillion cycles per second.
Wow.
So they're 32 octaves apart. So if you take that 20,000 cycle per second, where then it leaves our quote-unquote audible range, for example, if you take a note D sharp, its highest octave is 19,911 cycles a second, approximately. If you go up 32 octaves, that brings you up to the color indigo.
Oh, I love that color.
That's 694.9 trillion cycles per second. And it's really easy math. You just go get any encyclopedia and you look at the bandwidth of color. You know, when you look at a rainbow, it's not just the specific slice of red, yellow, green, blue, orange. It's a bandwidth. So you find that the high and the low of the bandwidth, divide by two, that gives you the center frequency of the bandwidth. Mm-hmm. You just divide by two, divide by two, divide by two, lowering it an octave until you get down into the audible range. And lo and behold, the 12 notes on our chromatic equal tempered scale on a keyboard are parallel to red, orange, yellow, lemon, green, turquoise, blue, indigo, violet.
Oh, wow. That's so cool.
It's really interesting. So sometimes you can play a note and people say, wow, I saw the color red.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Sure. Yeah. Because the note G vibrates at the same frequency as the color red. They're just 32 octaves.
Oh, it does?
Oh. So anyhow, the music that I offer that comes through is really allowing all of those elements to be part of the banquet of that piece of music. And it's open and welcoming all the people who are listening, and I energetically include and welcome those who will listen in the future. All part of the symphony of light, the world orchestra. Every person is a valuable member, and their energy resonates with the people around them, and that carries off to the people around them, and that carries off to the people around them. It's like that kinetic energy thing where you've got the four, five, six steel balls hanging on a string, and they're all sitting touching each other, and you take the far right one and you pull it out, and it hits the row of them, and the far left one goes up, and it comes out and hits the four or five stationary ones in the center, and the far right one goes up. Or if you take two to the left, it'll have enough energy to move two to the right, and they go back and forth. If you drop a pebble in a calm pool of water, it creates ripples in the water. And then drop another pebble in somewhere else, it creates ripples. And all of these ripples then interact and overlap. They don't necessarily slam into each other and cause the other one to go in the opposite direction. They just watch them. They flow over in harmony and balance with each other. They each move in their own direction. They overlap and continue flowing in their own direction. So that's always been in my field, in my energy field, in my thoughts and intentionality for creating the music, feeling of how will people receive it.
Yeah, it sounds like an analogy for what your music does for people and, you know, the applications that you can really compose it, that people can feel something from it and get what they need. And I was wondering about your, if you could talk a little bit about the event that you have coming up and the previous one that you just did. How does that work, and what's the premise, and how can people participate in that? What do they need to do, and what do they get or receive?
Yes, as things evolve and change and develop, and asking, how can I be of the highest service to the world community? I'm showing up. put me to use. How can I be of the highest service with my unique gifts and skill set, which in this point in time and lifetime is music. It's, mm-hmm. I live and breathe it. When I was a kid, I used to, if I was homesick from school, I couldn't go out and ride my bike. I couldn't play with the kids out in the yard. I couldn't go out and do that kind of stuff, but I could practice piano. I really enjoyed when there was a snow day or if I was sick, and I used to really encourage not having to go to school because I didn't really care for it that much. As a kid, I played piano for an hour or two or three a day as a kid. I mean, as a 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old, 12-year-old, I mean, I just lived and breathed it. I loved it. I would sit there for hours and hours and play.
That's amazing. Because I remember quitting piano lessons because I had to practice too much.
Well, you know, there was a time when I was probably 12 years old or 13 years old when feeling more like I wanted to go out and ride my bike or go out and play with the kids and stuff. And I had to do my half an hour of practice or my hour of practice. We had a cuckoo clock in the living room right over the piano. And I would go, the cuckoo clock would go, you know, seven times. And I'd go, okay, Ma, it's 7 o'clock. I'm going to practice now. And then about half an hour later, I would move the hand of the cuckoo clock around to 8 o'clock, and it would go, cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. And I'd go, okay, my hour's done.
That went by fast.
But that was, you know, that was a really short period of time, and that was really more related to, I didn't care much for my piano teacher. The guy I had started with had retired. He was an older guy, and I got a new one that I didn't care for, and it was really hardcore, you know, military style, and that just wasn't who I was and who I am. I'm the improv guy. I'm the guy that just kind of goes, okay, well, where's this going? Where can we take this to as a group collective? So, to go back to your question, music meditations are something that we've done for 30 years. Where we get a group of people into the studio, which in the early days was a teeny living room in an apartment. And we get a dozen or 15 people in there, and they'd meditate while I played. And I'd play for 45 minutes or an hour while people meditated. Uh-huh. And I just felt energy of the people. I felt the energy and the essence of the people, and it guided the music as I played. Sometimes light and delicate, sometimes low and deep, and dun, 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 dun. Having whatever supports and nurtures and encourages that vibrational resonance of the group. And got to the point too then when we got a house and in a larger room, we had 20 or 30 people, and the studio was busting out at the seams. There was people stacked on top of each other and chairs laying on the floor in the corners. And then we would put speakers outside, and I connected the studio to the house, to the living room, and we'd put speakers up there. And I think, you know, we'd get 56 people, I think, the largest group that we had.
Wow.
And, I mean, it was just people everywhere, outside and throughout the house, all connecting with that piece of music and with each other. And the process that I developed called symphonics, which is working with the specific frequencies and waveforms, S-Y-N-P-H-O-N-I-C-S, symphonics, as in synthesized, synthesis. In the old days, a sin, S-Y-N, was just missing the mark, missing your target in archery. That was a sin. And you doing that little play on words all around, and then the phonics, the symphony, of spontaneously creating a symphony based on the energy of what the intentionality, the focus, the purposefulness was. The mind, the person or people's expressed or personal, private intent for what this next period of time was to bring forth. Then 30 years later from all of that, now being in the space of, I was invited to create a program on World Future Network that was Music Meditations and Inner Journeys. And it was a 12 one-hour series where my wife was just incredible with helping with the writing of the content of the show. You know, one of the shows was Receiving Higher Frequencies with Grace and Ease.
Nice.
And with her gift with words, helping create the scripture that then I created two music meditations. The first one was 12 minutes long, and it was just music. And then the second one was about 22, 23 minutes long, and it had words of encouragement so that I would be playing, and And then every minute or two, it will just be a little phrase. You are whole, total, and perfect. You receive higher frequencies with grace and ease. Whatever that words of encouragement along that theme, it was so well received. I mean, thousands and thousands, tens and thousands of people tuned into the programs over that series. It just was extremely well received. And that opened the doors with a wonderful connection. My beautiful friend Kenshin Kamara, who was involved in the Telesummit the world, I received some invitation to do some Telesummits. That's how you became familiar with what I was doing. And one thing led to another. And in the Telesummits, I would actually have a few pieces of music. Some of them I would even actually play live on the Telesummit. Mm-hmm. The challenging part for that is that because keyboards are such full frequency bandwidth, literally 20 to 20,000 cycles per second, telephone is only, designed for voice. So a very, very narrow frequency range capability. And even the, digital and the Skype and those other things, not full bandwidth. So it was very challenging for me to play live in the studio and have people receive the music over a telephone line or on their computer, where some people would be listening on a laptop and didn't have external speakers, add-on speakers. They're just listening through those little one-inch speakers. The energy flows because of the intentionality and the permission and participation of the person who is experiencing the music. With their permission, they're welcoming to receive. The energy flows, and even in just a thought. Someone can send you a good thought, and you'll pick up on it. And you go, oh, I'm thinking about so-and-so, and next thing your phone rings. And it's like, oh, how are you? Or the phone will ring, and you go, oh, that's Dave. Oh, that's Louie giving me a call. And you pick up the phone, and guess what? Guess who it is? It's like, that connection is there. Sometimes we just kind of forget. We get so busy with the on the treadmill, gotta go, the tunnel vision, get there. You don't see anything to the side. It's like you got blinders on, and all you can see is gotta get across that traffic light, gotta get to the other end of the road, you gotta get there, beat that car out, gotta. You're human doings instead of human being and experiencing. You glance over while you're stuck at a stoplight at the person next to you that's got a kid in the car jumping around. And it's like, well, what is the experience of that? What is that? That's a gift in your day, in your moment, of the life that's around you. And, look at the birds sitting on the telephone line. And look at how they're all together. And all of a sudden, one flies off, and three or four or ten fly off in the same direction and flying in formation. It's like, these are all beautiful gifts that, even though we're on our mission of the day, we can take that moment and just go, breathe in the essence of life that all around us. And everybody's got their stuff. Everybody's got something that they're working off of, mental, emotional, physical, spiritual. Nobody rides for free. That's my little saying on it is, everybody's got something that they're working on. So maybe we can just develop a little more compassion and kindness and bring the gift of whatever joy we can into a difficult situation instead of jumping in and into the fray. Stepping back and saying, what level of calmness and compassion can be brought into this situation? And responsibility and accountability and setting an example of, here's a different way to resolve a conflict. Maintain your integrity and your point of view. And, that saying, agree to disagree. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. It's okay. There's nothing wrong. One person has a perspective, another has a perspective. It's the same as when you go into a restaurant and you're in the mood for a grilled cheese sandwich, and the person next to you is like, I want a hamburger. And it's like, what are you going to do? Say, what are you eating a hamburger for? It's meat. And da-da-da-da-da. Why don't you have radishes and carrots? Well, I'm not looking for radishes and carrots. And it's like, well, I feel like wearing a blue sweater and my blue jeans and yellow socks today. Well, that's great, because the yellow's got a vibration to it that interfaces between your feet and the earth. And the blue has a vibration to it. And if you wear a little red scarf or put a red handkerchief in your pocket, well, that brings its vibration to that part of your body. And it's a visual trigger stimulus to people who see it, that it catches their eye. And that color red is something that energetically, vibrationally, is something that might be beneficial to where they're at the point in time. And you wear a beautiful hat with feathers in it, and it might conjure up the images of the relationship of the Native American culture, of the devotional reverence to the eagle. It's all part of that beautiful tapestry, that beautiful banquet that we all are. And we all have that divine intuition already. We already know in the course of this 30-plus years of creating music, I've done over 3,500 hours of transformational music.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
3,500 hours, thousands of hours of creating music and music meditation, one-on-one for people, playing in venues, doing music meditation, music for other people's guided meditation, music for television. We were fortunate enough, I won an Emmy Award about a year ago for a score that I did for a television show.
Hmm.
You know, was out at Sundance Institute creating music for ballet, music and ballet. What a wonderful experience. Robert Redford put it together and brought in 30 ballet dancers and 5 composers and 5 choreographers, 5 or 6, and we all co-created music and dance instead of that saying where a dancer would suggest to a choreographer, heaven forbid, oh, well, I have an idea. How about if we kind of bend this way and slow down that way? And the given response, and a lot of the kids actually had T-shirts that said, shut up and dance. And can you imagine that? I mean, here you are in a creative, beautiful flow, and if somebody's got a lovely idea to share, the choreographer would respond with, shut up and dance.
That's real collaborative.
There were kids from New York City who had never seen the stars in the way this was out in Utah, in North Fork, Provo Canyon, where Sundance Institute was. And that first night, these kids stayed up all night long because it was pitch black sky with stars everywhere. You know, they grew up in New York City. They never saw the stars in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Never saw that. It was like, what an amazing, beautiful experience that was. So finding a way that I can use the gifts I've been given and have developed and cultivated to bring music in a positive, supportive, nurturing, resonant, engaging way or manner for people to receive it with whatever level they're ready, willing, and able, level of permission, and their own comfort. Beautiful symphony. Feel the beauty of what came through Beethoven or Mozart or any of the fabulous symphonic composers. Tchaikovsky, amazing. In that period of time, the window that opened up, Bach was born in 1685 and he lived to 1750. Mozart came in, went on into the early 1800s. Remember all the dates. But in that approximately 200-year window from the late 1600s to the late 1800s is when almost all of the classical masterpieces, that's when that all occurred. Chopin, César Franck, Charles Marie Vidor, Bach, Beethoven, 120 or so people who brought that music through. Amazing time. And
amazing
that we're still
music.
Playing.
Yeah.
You know, Bach, the bulk of his work was done in 1700. Now in 2012, 2013, 300 years later, we're still treasuring this music.
Yeah, I love that music.
Years.
I was at the birthhouse of Bach and Beethoven and Mozart, and it's such a great, such an amazing feeling to be there and to know that that's where they were born and where they came into this world and the creations that they did. I mean, I could really feel that energy just thinking about it. But they left.
All in that same area, the Central Europe area, Germany, Austria, France, Italy, just all in that little area at that 200-year window of time, mostly in the, you know, 1700, 1800, and that was still slap. Yeah. It was just like, boom, there it was. And I encourage people who haven't had much opportunity to experience classical music, pick up one of the Beethoven symphonies and just imagine that this man did this piece 300 years ago, writing by candlelight with a very primal piano, the early pianofortes.
True.
Not the sophisticated instruments, and imagining in his mind the strings, the cellos, the flutes, the brass, the timpani, all of that in his mind as he's writing with a quill, pen and ink by a candlelight on a piece of manuscript paper. And Bach, oh, what a mind. he would travel on the train between Stuttgart, Germany, and somewhere else, many hour train ride. And in his mind, he would write these magnificent toccata and fugues. Then when he got to his destination, he'd go off to a little side room, pull out his paper and pen, and write down from what he created in his mind on the train ride. Magnificent 7, 8, 9, 10 minute long pieces. He was a church organist.
They were called Kapellmeister, right?
Long cantatas that were 45 minutes long. And he would do it in his mind and then write it down on paper. That, some of the most remarkable Bach toccata and fugue in D minor. Everybody hears it now at Halloween time. And Beethoven. And these pieces of music are 300 years old, but they are so identifiable and still stylized. So what an amazing gift that music has to reach people on these levels and invoke body, mind, spirit, and emotion in a beneficial, therapeutic way.
Mm.
Now here in this level of technology, live streaming is the forefront of bringing what you have to offer into people's homes and their lives. I have quite an array of keyboards in the studio, and if you get an opportunity to go to jimolivermusic.com, there are a number of pictures of the studio, and on there are some links to YouTube videos to introduce people to what I have to offer. And there's a video invitation to our live streaming music meditation. We have 4 cameras set up in the studio.
Cool.
Side view, overhead, a boom camera that rises and lowers parallel to the keyboard.
Oh, wow.
Playing. We have what we call the sock cam, which is down at my feet because I play bass pedals.
Oh,
and I have
how neat.
2 sets of bass pedals and all the volume and sustain pedals for the keyboards. We have one from the back right corner that looks down that
row
of keyboards, and then one directly overhead. So that we've got 2 videographers.
Oh, wow.
One who is on the camera doing the pans and the zooms from the back right corner when I'm over in that area.
Cool.
And then another fellow who's at the live switcher, which switches between camera 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Mm.
And so if I'm playing in this area, he'll switch to the camera where my hands are. If I'm playing somewhere else, he'll switch to that camera.
Mm-hmm.
If I've got hand here and hand there, whatever camera has the best view of that, he'll switch live while I'm playing spontaneous live.
Wow.
Based on the energy and focus and intentionality and world community resonant vibration live in the moment. Going out the internet, streaming, connecting with thousands of people all over the world simultaneously in that moment in time.
Hmm.
I just speak for 10 minutes or so at the beginning to kind of say hi and welcome people and help people kind of give them a chance to kind of get comfortable in their seat or lying down or wherever they are and just kind of do some breathing and start to bring in the energies and the awareness and help people to create the space for themselves. It's all about you, the listener. I'm only the tour guide.
Mm.
That if the energy flows to the left, I flow to the left. If the energy flows to the right, I flow to the right. If the energy is light and delicate, I'm light and delicate. If the energy is deep and intense, I'm deep and intense. It evolves. And, we've got choirs and strings. The keyboards today are magnificent. Tens and tens and tens of thousands of sounds and textures, from delicate angelic choirs to big cinematic choirs and low bass and sparkling bells and sweeps and swirls and cosmic and galactic and all the above, resonant and rhythmic, sustained and delicate. The whole spectrum is available at my fingertips. And it's guided by the energy of the people who are participating in the moment and those that will listen and participate and experience the music in the future. So that energetic welcoming that we create. The last one, we had 1,150 people registered. And many people had a home gathering where they'd invite 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people. And the people would meditate around the computer with the speakers. And I really encourage people, if you don't have nice speakers attached to your computer, get a nice pair of speakers with a subwoofer. You can get inexpensively, you know, under $100, and then from there the sky's the limit. And in our place, we're tied into the surround sound system in the family room. So when we watch streaming events, it's like being at a concert. You know, we've got, you know, really a tremendous sound system but at whatever level. And if you're in an apartment situation or a living situation where you can't have speakers playing that time of the day, a good set of headphones. There's a lot of people that want to listen. You can get wide jacks. You can get them at your local electronics place. Just get wide cords and stack them all together so that you can have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 outputs, and people can plug their headphones into that and have their own more private experience of the music. If you're in an apartment or the baby sleeping in the next room or whatever the situation, so that you can receive the music with the full fidelity. We transmit broadcast at high fidelity audio and high definition video. So it's really like as high quality as what you see on television shows.
Wow.
And it's in the moment. You're right there. So when I'm playing, you're experiencing it right then and there throughout the world. We have people from all over the world tuning in to themselves and to each other and feeling and experiencing that participation in the world community, that you are part of the world. Microcosm and the macrocosm, as above, so below, how we are in this moment affects other people in our energy field, and then they affect people in their field, and so on, and so outward and inward.
You're so inspiring, and I love the event that you have coming up. I didn't realize it was going to be visual too, so I'm even more excited to experience it now.
We have I invested heavily in 4 high definition cameras, a device that those cameras go into, and has a control surface that the videographer John moved the fader between cameras and select cameras and camera angle, and that way the visual, my fingers are moving on the keys while you're hearing the music. It's right then and there. You're seeing that this is, you know, I'm not playing a record. This is happening live in the moment, and all the beautiful textures of sounds right at my fingertips. I've got about a dozen keyboards in there, a couple sets of bass pedals, many, many keyboard synthesizers, grand piano, electric piano, everything that has the imagination and the flow of energy comes through the creativity. Can be represented musically.
Yeah, I can feel it just thinking about it.
And that resonance vibrates with the cells in your body, and it opens up that cellular mind. It helps the DNA to activate and rebalance and restore itself. The body is a self-healing mechanism, and the music creates the environment, that safe space for those energies to move and flow and to resolve and to integrate. Integration is absolutely essential. My most recent piece of music is called The Light of Integration.
Oh, that sounds beautiful.
And that's what it's about. How can you bring forth all these beautiful things you're learning at seminars and trainings and telesummits and phone things and internet things and newspaper, print, magazine, courses online, whatever. It has to be integrated into the body, mind, spirit, and emotion. And from there, it can be accessible in your daily life.
Mm-hmm.
So that integration, that deep feeling where you and it are one. We are all one. We are one world, one energy.
Mm-hmm.
That individuated self is part of that one energy. There is no separation.
Yeah. You know, it's probably a big question, but in a nutshell, is there a way to say how the DNA gets activated?
Well, everything is vibration, and everything has a resonant frequency. And if you think of the world as a hologram, which it really is, it's a holographic universe. If you look at a holographic picture of an apple, and that little corner of that holographic picture, where when you look at it from a distance, it would be just that bottom left piece of the apple. But when you look at that holographic picture of just that bottom left piece of the apple, the actual entire picture of the apple in that little segment of the hologram. So mm-hmm. it's a sum of its parts. It is the whole, and it is part simultaneously.
Mm.
And DNA, when you think of the double helix, the strand, you see the picture of three-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
A light wave is three-dimensional. So just think how sound and visible light, color, are harmonically related to the vibration of the cells of your body. Being there's a nucleus with electrons and protons. Protons flowing in a resonant pattern. And what is disease, disharmony, distress, distortion, dissonance, disconnection. If you look at it from that analogy of, well, maybe that's what that is. Where did that balance and harmony get drawn out of harmony and balance? And then how did that manifest itself in a physical or mental, emotional, spiritual way? And how can frequency, vibration, resonance, think of just three-dimensional space. Music is three-dimensional space. It's not just left speaker, right speaker. If you have a surround system, you've got speakers behind you and one in the center and a subwoofer with the bass. It's an envelope. And the hologram is a three-dimensional space. That violin resides in a place in that space. And musically, you can position it in that space, but it resonates in the room you're in. So if the speakers are in front of you, the sound reflects off the sidewall, it reflects off the ceiling, it reflects off the floor. It then goes to the back wall, where it then reflects back towards the speakers. And that sound is all around you. And if you're outdoors, you're hearing birds chirping behind you, overhead, to the right, to the left, in front of you. You're hearing dogs barking, you're hearing airplanes flying, you're hearing the wind blow, you're hearing crickets. You're hearing the person building an addition on their house next door or a mile away. You know, you hear all these sounds. So it's a three-dimensional space. And I feel that our bodies and beings are a representation of that dimensional space. And the vibration has a unique way of finding, being drawn to that area that's asking for support and resonance. So when you listen to the music that I create, you'll feel, as I mentioned before, you'll feel some notes in your legs, you'll feel some notes in your chest, in your heart, in your head in various places, in your fingers, your arms, your elbows, because the frequency, the vibration, the waveform of that particular part of the music resonates with that area. Like the analogy of massage, when the massage therapist is working with you, and working on your legs, and it's like, oh, there's a spot right there. Oh, that's really tight. Oh, that's a little sore. You weren't aware of it until massage therapist started to work that area and start to work that muscle group. And you go, oh, well, that's a little tight. Let's work that loose. Well, the vibration can work that loose. Nuts and bolts are always coming loose, you know, from vibration. You got to tighten them down periodically. And it's the same thing. Things build up tension, and the vibration can release that tension. Nikola Tesla had a wonderful device, the telegeodynamic machine, where he felt that he could prevent earthquakes. Well, his feeling was, well, let's put these large devices that were just the thumpers tuned to the right frequency to where the tectonic plates would stay in a state of flexure. Instead of letting that pressure build up and then poof, let go, it would let them gradually float over each other.
Wow,
the same way as is an industry, the sound white noise, which just sounds like some of this whooshing sound. If you're in a factory that's doing stamping of metal parts, where you've got, it's called a die, you've got the piece of metal over it, and then the thing comes down, bang, and it impacts, the hammer comes down and impacts, and it forces the metal into that little mold, die cast part. It's enormously loud, bang, bang, that hammer comes down and forms the metal into that shape. They would play white noise in there so that it would lessen the impact of that sound. Because if the ear, and here's the analogy, if your ear is not hearing anything, it becomes kind of static. It's the eardrum's not vibrating. And then the impact coming at, bang, it impacts. But if you keep the eardrum in a state of flexure with the white noise, that way it varies a little bit. That way your ear is already vibrating a little bit with the white noise. So then when the big sound comes in, it's not as jarring and jolting because the ear is already flowing. Uh-huh. It's the same thing that if you're standing rigid and fixed and someone bumps into you accidentally, they'll knock you off balance. But if you're standing like the people that have taken, you know, martial arts, karate, tai chi.
Like the bamboo.
That you're not rigid, your knees aren't locked, you're standing where you can sway to the left or the right or front or back, and someone accidentally bumps into you, you just flow with it, mm-hmm. and you come back to balance. Mm-hmm. So that's the idea. Music helps you stay in a flowing state so that when influences come externally or internally, however they may arrive, you're already flowing with it. So it's not as startling and jarring and as disruptive. The music that I offer is, like I say, it's very dynamic and sometimes very gentle and delicate and sustained. It represents all those elements that occur in life. So the cells of your body and being resonate with it. It finds that area where there's a little restriction, perhaps. And it works that area loose. And so say, well, let's see, I'm feeling something in the, you know, the calves of my legs. Okay, and in these particular notes in the music, or this musical passage is what's resonating there, and it's drawing your attention there. As that resolves and clears and flows, next time that part of the music comes through, it just flows right through. Your attention's not drawn to it. But then there's another area downstream, as it were, that your attention may be drawn to. There's another stick stuck between the rocks that's now letting the leaves flow down the stream in the fall, you know. Mm-hmm. And now your attention's drawn to that and that part of the music. So I constantly get letters from people or sharings from people. You know, I've been listening to this piece of music for months or years, and that's the beauty of the music, is it truly is timeless. It's something you'll listen to for years and years and years and years. I have people
like Bach and Beethoven.
Yeah, 30 years ago, you know, Faces of Neptune and Rest of Woman, you know, my first two pieces of music, first two 90-minute pieces of music, and people share with me they still listen to those pieces of music 30 years later, and each time it's a new discovery, a new awareness, a new experience. Because as things move and flow, your attention is drawn to another part and another part. Or maybe you've got a sore foot, or you stepped on a rock when you were barefoot, and your sole of the foot is invite that self-healing mechanism of the body. Mm-hmm. You scratch your finger, well, that heals itself. At what level do we say, okay, we can heal this, but we can't heal that? A starfish will grow a new arm. Salamanders will grow a new tail. Chameleons can change color on their environment. Nature is really amazing. When you think of this, I saw some photographs years ago of they were using electrical stimulus amputees to help with the phantom pain and the healing. Sometimes people would actually start to grow fingers back out of the amputation site of their arm. Wow. You know, it's like regeneration, rejuvenation, restorative, remembering.
Oh.
So feel that. Remembering. Bringing back that hologram in your DNA. The master DNA is in, I understand it, in mm-hmm. all the cells of the body. Mm. So bringing forth that blueprint of music creates a vibrational model of you in your optimal state. Mm-hmm. Which you can then resonate with and represent in this new holistic, unified field of oneness and connection. Mm-hmm. A restructuring. Yeah. And all the while remembering that you're already whole, total, and perfect, and that we're all on a path of evolving and discovering and experiencing. And sometimes it pulls you one way and sometimes it pulls you the other. But ultimately, we're all on that same path. We're all on the same team. Whether you find remember, rediscover what it is you're moving towards through music or through food or through art or movement. We're all offering our special gifts for people to resonate with and go, that's where I'm at right now, and that's fine. I'm really into doing yoga. I'm into doing Tai Chi. I'm into walking. I'm into running. I'm into tennis. I'm into baseball or bowling or whatever it is. It's all an expression of the self.
Oh, isn't that amazing? Thank you so much for joining us today and listening to this episode of Healing the World Through Music. Do check our website for your free tools on healing music and music for healing, including your own healing music blueprint, which is a new exciting offering that you'll find at www.healingtheworldthroughmusic.com. Thank you.